Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's always an honor and a privilege that God has bestowed upon us that we could come together and expound on the word of God together with one another. God provides the opportunity and we have to take it. And that's what we're doing tonight, taking the opportunity to share the word of God in fellowship, the body of Christ, partakers of the household of faith. And it's a beautiful thing. I thank God always for allowing me to go before his people. And I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule to meet here on Wednesday night at the 8:30 hour. At this time, I'm going to play a song. And when we come back, we go into God's throne of grace with our sister, Pam.
Sometimes it seems hard to see, I care for you. And sometimes it's hard for you to see that I'm there with you. Oh, be strong, hold on, and know I'm right there.
I was there.
And I thought that song was so appropriate for what's going on in the world today and the message that we have in our lesson tonight. You see, God lets us know that there are all kind of things, situations, calamities, and all sorts of things happening in our world today. But that songwriter lets us know, no matter what's going on, God wants us to know he's right in the middle of every situation that's going on in your life. God promised never to leave us and forsake us. And he's right there. Every situation, no matter how bad it is, not just the bad, but even the good, God is right in the middle of everything that is happening in our lives and in this world. And we'll see it when we get to our lesson and our printed text. But at this time, I've opened the mic for Sister Pam to come to us and lead us to the God's throne of grace. Sister Pam, you could come any way that God is leading you. Your mic is open.
Good evening, my sisters and brothers. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Giving you thanks tonight, Father God, for life. Thank you for affording us the opportunity to come together on one accord tonight for our Bible study. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanking you for our sister and our teacher, Minister Diane Adams. Father God, I pray that you continue using her in ways that only you can. Lord, I pray that you continue to bring this Bible study and all those that has joined in on tonight. Lord, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for the gifts. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your son, Jesus the Christ. And it is in his name that I pray, amen.
Amen, Sister Pam. And as always, I thank you for your faithfulness.
You're welcome.
Thank you for allowing God to use you as a prayer warrior. Ah, that's a pretty good title.
Amen.
To be
Hallelujah.
Used. And I thank you. Well,
You're
it's
welcome.
Time. You're so welcome as well, my darling. It's time for us to get in our lesson. Our lesson is coming from the book of Matthew, the 24th verse, and we're going to expound on the first through the 14th verse. And the title of our lesson tonight is Jesus Lets Us Know What to Expect. You know, I read somewhere that God never leaves his people in the dark. You know, if we look at the Holy Bible, God had prophets and priests and judges and kings to always have something to tell the people. He never left us in the dark. And Jesus never leaves us in the dark as well. This 24th chapter of Matthew is Jesus teaching his disciples. And keep in mind, it's getting close to the time of his arrest, his beating, hanging on the cross, buried in a borrowed tomb, and resurrected. And now he's at the right hand of the Father. The time was getting near, and Jesus was pumping up the volume in his teaching. He knew many things he was telling them they didn't quite comprehend it. So we get in our lesson, as always, I do a little intro. I want us to know that we are living in a world of trials, tribulation, adversities, and trouble on every side. You see, even in the midst of our storms, we must remember nothing that is happening is taking God by surprise. You know, we don't have to say, God, I wonder if you know what's going on. Did you see what this did? And do you see what Putin is doing? And Did you see what the leaders have done? And do you see the police and its brutality? Do you see? You don't have to wonder that. Just remember that nothing is happening that is taking God by surprise. You see, this statement is true, but you must believe it to be able to achieve it, to understand who God is. You see, I'm talking about God, the only true and living God. So I want to put some emphasis on him. So to understand who God is, I first went to Psalms 24, and it says, the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. This is what makes him sovereign and total control, knowing everything, everywhere at the same time. To understand that God is sovereign, God created everything, and therefore all things are under his control. He can do what he wants, when he wants, for whom he wants, and how he wants. And guess what, y'all? That's just the way he planned it. So as many people I see today trying to put God in a box, you can't put God in a box, because God operates in his own will. You see, this attribute, his attributes have made him one of a kind. He is in that class all by himself. What makes him sovereign is that he's omnipresent. God is everywhere at the same time. There's a scripture in Psalms 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's always in our presence. So that's why nothing can take him by surprise. You see, he's omnipotent. God can do all things that are consistent with his character. God has all power in his hand, and nothing can stop him or block him. I'm telling y'all about the God you serve. God doesn't need to ever ask permission or wait around for buy-in from anyone to do what he wants to do for you. That's a blessing in itself. He's omniscient. That means God has all knowledge and full of wisdom. God perfectly knows all possibilities and scenarios that can happen in our lives. And guess what? He has already worked it out for our good. God, in his ultimate wisdom, created a master plan before the foundation of the world. And he is creating He uses all of his attributes and all of his decisions to create everything according to his will. We know God can't lie, and God don't change, and God can't be in the presence of sin or have to turn around or don't let sin go. See, all of that is God's nature and his will and his attributes. God operates in them. That's why he's consistent. That's how you can trust him. See, man be wishy-washy. They one way today and one way another day up. They one way with Sally and a different way with Sue. God is not like that. God operates in his attributes. And I just want you to know, when he created before the foundation of the world, you are included. You see, God know what is going to happen every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every month, every week, and each year. And he knew it from the beginning and all the way through eternity. You see, he's either orchestrating or allowing, and that's just the way he planned it. That's why we say get out the way and let God have his way. God never leaves his people in the dark. He gave us his word that include everything that would happen even before it happened. And we're going to see that tonight. He gives us evidence of who he is. And he lets us know that we have victory through the blood of his son. So I say again, remember, nothing that is happening is taking God by surprise. That should give you more hope when you hear the news or see something on the TV or see something on the internet or all of those messages pop on your phone. You got to remember, this is not taking God by surprise. So when you get to see, God already know about it. And his decision, how he's going to handle and how it's going to come out, he already made the decision. That's dynamite, y'all. So again, I say, remember, nothing that is happening is taking God by surprise. And, you know, we all talks about the bad, but I want to even tell you about the good, because God is full of goodness. The good that is happening to you, God know it because he orchestrated or allowed it. The bad, he knows about it. And even the ugly things. So even when you cannot hear his voice in the middle of these situations, when you're going through your trials and your tribulations, it may seem he's far from you, which we all know God never leaves us. We walk away from him or we distance ourselves. But I come to tell you tonight, even when you can't hear his voice, just trust his plan, because he is God. And yes, he do understand. And that's our intro for tonight. And we're going on in our lesson. And as I said a little earlier, Jesus was teaching. He knew his time was getting short. And he was teaching, and his disciple asked him a question. So he was taking time to explain it to them. Not that they were fully comprehended, but he told them about it. So when we see Matthew, the 24th chapter, hallelujah, open up, it says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. You see, they was in a temple, and Jesus went out and departed. And I got to stop right there to let you know, Jesus went in the temple, like one of our local churches. And he saw what the people were doing in that, decided to leave. And when they say departed, it's like he's never coming back there. And he wasn't going to come back because they were going to crucify him, but he was just outdone of what was happening in the temple. And you see in verse 2, Jesus said to them, because they was all excited about the building, the way it looked, its splendor, and all of these things. But Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. 3. And as he sat upon Mount Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs of thy coming of the end of the world? In verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. In verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and they shall deceive many. Hallelujah. See, they had was with Jesus, and Jesus was teaching, and he went in the temple and was displeased and came out, and the disciple wanted him to maybe comment on how great it was or how it looked or whatever. And Jesus, you know, began to tell him, he told him, take heed. He's about to tell him something and answer the questions. They may have thought they was asking one question, but Jesus is going to give them so many answers. You see, they were speaking of his coming in triumph as the Messiah, an event which they no doubt anticipate that would occur presently. You see how some people are talk to you with such authority that the end of the world is so close? You know, throughout the ages, the Old Testament, God began expressing that he would send a Messiah and it would be his son. And many of the prophets and the teachers, they thought it would happen in their time. They definitely thought it would have been at least in the Old Testament. But we know that Jesus didn't come to the New Testament, and that's just the way God planned it. So they was anticipating that it could be, you know, like in their lifetime. Even if they could, you know, could really get a grasp on it of his approaching death, which he had plainly prophesied to them on repeated occasions. You see, Jesus often told them that he had to go, that he would die, he would be crucified, but he would rise on the third day. So he used to tell them all the time, but they couldn't comprehend it. Just like some people in the world today can't comprehend what God is saying. So they could not have anticipated his assumption to heaven and the long time it would take before he would come back. They couldn't conceive of that. Jesus was born over 2,000 years ago, and at 30 he went and got his disciples and he began to teach them, and at the end of 3 years he was gone. So now this 33 years after the beginning of the New Testament that he's teaching this here to his disciples. And they just can't comprehend it all the way. Y'all got to remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane really ready to be arrested, and the soldiers came and they took him. I got ready to take him. Peter wasn't ready for him to go. He took out his sword and cut one of the soldiers' ear off. Jesus picked the man and he'll put it back on his head and say, in so many words, I'll use our words we use today. Peter, this battle is not yours. It belongs to me. You see, they wanted a Messiah, and they wanted him. Many of the people wanted him to be their Messiah when he first came out, because they believed something was special about him. And if he would become their king on earth, that he could handle the Romans that had them not as slaves, but sure enough in bondage. Because when Jesus was being crucified and they was come and be their king, they were saying Hosanna, and they put the palms in the street. But once they fully understood, because Jesus said, this kingdom is not mine, they began to cry out, crucify. See, people want you for what they want you for. Come on, y'all. When Jesus say, take heed in this verse, Jesus is asking us to take heed, y'all, and reply to the question. He's telling them, listen up. He told them, watch out for deception. They were to be constantly on guard because many would arise to deceive the people. Many shall come in my name, not in the name or the authority of Jesus, are claiming to be his followers and to be sent by him are claiming to be the Messiah. People are going to come all kind of ways. Jesus, how many times you be in church and the pastor said, God told me to tell all of y'all to give this guest preacher $100. I'm not saying God can't tell someone that if God wants to. But it's so strange, you know, you hear it over and over, this pastor, that pastor, this church, that church, and other churches. They even have churches that have told the people if they didn't have money for the plant the seed they were asking for that they could make a loan. And yet the Bible teaches about being debt-free. He told them, take heed, y'all. There are many people even claiming to be Christ. Worse than that, people have begun to deny that Jesus is the Son of God. Look what they're doing in their religion and their doctrine. They are bringing him down to the level of mankind, and they are also trying to elevate themselves to the level of Jesus as if they are equal with Jesus. You know, some religions say that Jesus was not the Son of God, that he was a teacher. He was a good a teacher. He was a prophet. You know, they give him a title. That's not really his. You see, the deception of false religion is rampant, and there are more false gods right here on earth than ever before. Y'all think the Israelites had a lot of false gods. But I believe false gods is here more than ever, as more of them than ever. Verse 6, 7, and 8 says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. He said, when you hear all of this stuff, don't be troubled. And look why he tell them, for all these things must come to pass. He said, but let me just tell you, but the end is not yet. He's saying these things is going to come. Some of these people see some of these things and they think the end of the world is tomorrow or the end of the world is the middle of next year. He said, you're going to see these things. But the end is not yet. 7, for nations shall rise against nations, kingdom against nation, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All of this is the beginning of sorrow. Whenever we see the beginning of sorrow in the Word of God, it's talking about the pain that would be conceived in childbirth. He said it's the beginning of sorrow. It's not the end. You see, all of these characterize the things that's happening now. But God wants us to know that, but they're going to escalate towards the end. You think the pestilence and the things that are happening all around the world is so dire, so devastating. It's going to escalate, y'all, because you see, evil is in control. And evil is rampant on the world. And evil does what evil does. And evil is not trying to minimize evil. It's trying to escalate it. So I went to 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 5, and it says, this know also, that in the last perilous times shall come, in the last days, for men shall be lover of them own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. Verse 3, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, fierce, despisers of those that are good, full traitors, hasty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than of God. Y'all know any of this happening today? But he said, I'm going to tell you what it evaluates to. It's having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Y'all know anything like that happen or any people like that? And the scripture just told us it's going to get worse before it get better. It's going to get worse before it get better. It's going to get worse before it get better. But we still can remember that it's not taking God by surprise. The title of the lesson is God always lets us know what to expect, and that's what he's doing. There have been wars raging ever since Jesus made this statement. And there was wars before Jesus. Don't think wars just happened. They had so many war battles in the Old Testament that'll give you swimming in the head. Wars have been on an increase in the last 5 years, and especially in the Middle East. Right now, there is conflict going on every continent. Young people are being killed in the streets daily. The Arabs and the Jews have been in constant conflict. Y'all know they had a holy war going on in Jerusalem from the beginning of almost the beginning of time, or at least God had given the Israelites the promised land. The Arabs and Jews have been in constant conflict. And we in the United States is threatened with a civil war. Y'all don't believe it? Just take a look at the insurrection that happened on January the 6th. If that would have broke out as a war, it would be called civil war because we was fighting ourselves on our own land. Civil war. Come on, y'all. Insurrection, January the 6th, 2020. I meant to say. There is conflict in many of the streets in a major city and many countries of the world. And I want to tell y'all, I don't remember if it's more than one, but I know since the insurrection happened here in January last year, I know of another country doing the same thing, went to their capital, went to their place, Come on, y'all. Monkey see, monkey do. The whole world is like a stick of dynamite. Sometimes you look and you say it's ready to explode. There are enough bombs already made to blow the whole world up. It is possible for some manic to push the button and start an all-out nuclear war. Y'all know China said they got it, and Russia got some too. And the United States might ain't say it, but I'm sure if everybody else got one, they got some too. So certainly, this part of the prophecy is already fulfilled. I can't hear your voice, but I'm asking you, do you believe it? I'm asking you, do you see what Jesus said? And then what came around, what Paul said to Timothy, has it been fulfilled? And if I look at 9, 10, and 11, it say, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. And shall hate one another. And many 11 say many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Do you believe it? Now, when I read this, some people may say, when it say and shall kill you, remember this was Jesus talking to his disciples. And if y'all know the history, all of his disciples was killed for their beliefs in Jesus Christ. The only disciple that wasn't martyred or killed was John. And many of those great teachers and preachers were killed at that time. And they're killing some now in countries for their witness of Jesus Christ. Paul was killed. John the Baptist was killed. Stephen was the first one martyred. They stoned him to death. So that's what Jesus was telling them right here. I'm going to read it again. Since you know he was talking to them. Then shall they deliver you to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name. And then many will be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Keep that in mind. We do know that many of the disciples was delivered up and martyred for the cause of Christianity. I believe that this scripture covers Christians as well as Jews. You know, Jews has been in trouble with the world because they were God's chosen people. You see, Jews, even in the recent years, has been persecuted and martyred. But to go back to Hitler, who killed 1/6 of all the Jewish people in the world. Y'all know that. He dug ditches, trenches, and they was just laying on top of each other because so many of them was being killed. Just because they were a Jew. We hear the religion aristocrats of Russia and China today saying what they're not going to tolerate. You can't openly carry a Bible in China, and you can't talk about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of the only true living God, in many places in Russia. These people really feel the persecution for wanting to do the will of God. And here in the United States, in most of all of the United States, you have a right to your religion openly. You don't have to do it silently. You could carry your Bible. You could wear your cross. You could do other religious things that people do and it be seen. And yet, many times, we are lackadaisical. You see, in our society today, if a person truly loves God and try to do something to further the kingdom, he is labeled as a fanatic. Even inside the church world, there's bickering, fighting, backbiting, and more. I could throw in greed. You see, the message of Christianity has been watered down that our ancestors would not even recognize our service as having church. Even in our own ranks, some of the new messages have removed the dignity of Jesus Christ. Come on, y'all. You hear him talking about everything else. More and more, and less about Christ. Come on, y'all. You can go into church, and they're going to talk about the annual program they're going to do next month for 35 minutes. And when you pray, they're looking at you if you take long. And if you preach, they're going to tell you 10 to 15 minutes. And you'll be in church 3 hours. Do the math. Do the math. False prophets, preachers, and other officers have brought such a watered-down version of Christianity into the church that except for the fact that you're in the church house, you would believe you were at some of this world entertainment. Name it and claim it. Bring it up here and throw it at the altar. Money coming to you. Money coming. Church out. God wants the man of God to fly in a brand new jet. God wants you to make a sacrifice that you're giving. Give more today than you ever gave in your life. And so on and so on and so on and so on. See, the message and services are appealing to the flesh. Many are being deceived. The only way not to be deceived, if you want the answer to not be deceived, I ask that you listen up. And if you have to write it down so you won't forget, get your pen and paper. The only way not to be deceived is to know what the Bible says for yourself. That's why 2 Timothy 2 and 15 say that you should study to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. If you don't know what the truth says, you could easily believe what come out of man's mouth. And if he say it enough times to you, you're going to believe it. That's why so many young men go to prison and they turn to the Muslim faith. Because they're the ones that bringing their philosophy and setting them down and teaching. And then if you sit down and talk to anybody and you want them to believe what you're saying, you could add all kind of stuff in there to make them say, oh, that seemed right. Oh, that sound good. Oh, that must be right. Oh. You see? You must read it every day. Ask God to help you and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you and help you to discern right from wrong. Every Wednesday night at the 8:30 hour, I come to you, my sisters and brothers. I come to you with information, but it's the Holy Ghost that give illumination and revelation. And that's why I tell you guys ahead of time what we're going to expound on and I even asked you to read the text and if you had time to read the whole chapter. You see, when we come together on Wednesday night, the teaching and what you have comprehend is good when it's on one accord. And if it's not, that's why at the end of the program, I ask for input or correction. I never voice that I'm the smartest tool in the shed. We all are growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I come to you prayerful and asking the Holy Spirit for guidance. So, and this is our Bible study, and we could partake one with another. And I tell you all the time, maybe sometime you could bring in a statement or fact and you present it and everybody on the line hear you. They may receive it better the way you said it than I said it. And the same, that would be a beautiful thing because the goal is not for me to say it. I said it. The goal is for you to be able to receive it, that you could continue in the things of God and that you could grow from one level to another by putting precepts upon precepts. But we have to ask God for help and the Holy Ghost to teach us and to help us to discern right from wrong. I want to tell you tonight that Satan is clever and he is out to destroy Christianity and all the Christians. The only weapon that we must fight him with are the name of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of God. So I want you to know, be not deceived. Be not deceived. and embrace the warning in the Bible. And the last verse says, the last three, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Are we experiencing that today, y'all? And it's more than ever. I don't know who I was talking to earlier today, but they were talking about children and people. And they were saying when they, oh, this was my aunt, and she's 86. And she was reflecting on when they were young, how if her mama went to work, the mama would drop them off to the neighbor. Or if the child was a little big enough to be home by herself, or the mama didn't bring them to the neighbor, and the child would be outside, the neighbor would say, your mama going to work, come in here and get something to eat. Don't be in the street. Stay in here till your mama come home. You know? But this scripture told us, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. People used to care more and share more. And that's why I tell you, evil is pumping up the volume. And it's going to escalate before it dissipates. 13, but he shall endure for the end. But he that shall endure to the end, the same will be saved. All of this is going to happen. They're going to have lovers of themselves, leaning to their own understanding. You got all of that. They're going to have pestilence. They're going to have storms. Right now in California, it's snowing and it's flooding, and things we never saw happen in some places is happening now. Hallelujah. Yes, they're going to be all of that, and people killing people senseless. Come on, y'all. Police brutality is still real, and a white man still want to put his knee on a black man's neck every chance they get. Segregation and racism is live. I don't care what nobody say. Yeah, we went to the White House. And we got many black people living in rural places that has to go to the outhouse for to use the bathroom. He say famine in the land. Countries like Haiti and many other Africans, even in Jerusalem, and I don't know if it's because of a famine, but the people are starving. Yes, it's going to be all of that. But 13, verse 13 say, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. So Jesus is still asking a question. They say, when will it end be? 14, he say, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. You know, we hear a lot of times that the end is not going to come till everyone had a chance to hear the gospel. And let me tell you this right quick since I have a minute. When we see the scripture where it talks about God predestined who would be saved and this and that, and people say, well, why should I worry about it if God's going to choose who's going to be saved and who's not? God is not choosing who's going to be saved or taking your will or making you be saved, because if that was the case, when we got saved, God could have brought us straight to heaven. But because I talked about the attributes of God early in the lesson, and because God is omniscient, which means he's all-knowing, God knows everybody that will be saved. And he's waiting on them. Some of the people is the people you prayed for to be saved. We don't know when they're going to accept. We don't know how they're going to accept. And we can't give up because we can't act like they'll never accept. So the point I'm saying is God is waiting for the gospel to be preached to all nations. Now, there's somebody that might can't really get it. the message unless it come from you. We all have a duty to do as the Bible tells us to do in Matthew, to go ye. We all have a responsibility to share the word of God with someone. And I encourage you tonight to don't think that you don't know enough. You've been calling in at 8:30 enough to be able to say something if you can't say no more than God is good. And God is good all the time. You can't say what you don't know, but you need to be saying what you do know. Every opportunity that God affords you. The Bible said that we should all feel and contribute. When we say, come, Lord Jesus, come, what are you doing to help Jesus come back? Because the scripture says it has to be taught. It has to be shared all over the world. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Why you think they got so many satellites going into countries where there's only 300, not country, whether it was a nation or whatever it is, where there's only 300 people, all evangelists that's going all around the world to bring the message. God has widened his, widened the different ways and the amount of people to share it. But he says it's all of our responsibility, not just the other person. So I encourage you today, y'all. Any opportunity that God gives you to share the word, share it. Because only those things you do for Christ will last. That's my lesson for tonight. Any comments, questions, or concerns, you could speak them at this time. Any comments, questions, or concerns? Can you guys hear me? Can someone press the one button on a phone? Thank you. Thank you. So is there any comments, questions, or concerns? Anyone would like to add to what has been said? Or even ask a question? Well, if not, Sister Pam, your mic is open and you could give us the benediction.
The benediction tonight is coming from 2 Peter 3:18, in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Good advice from Peter.
Amen.
Peter said that scripture. That was the last scripture writing that Peter did. And Peter knew he was going to be martyred. Peter was on his way to be crucified for his conviction and witness for the gospel. Peter's left us with the last thing he could leave us with. And I love that scripture so much. Because I know it was so heartfelt when he told us. And it was almost like he was saying, if I could tell you anything to do, he said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. See, Peter had grown. Peter had came from a long way. The word of God was changing him and working on him just as well as God is doing with us. When we accepted Christ, we wasn't full grown. That's why they say we was as babe drinking milk. And as you grow, you could eat the meat. Peter had to grow. And he know what growing in grace and knowledge did for him. So that's what he left for us. And I thank him for it. And that's our lesson for tonight. And if there's anything anyone want to say, you can at this time. I'll meet you back on next Wednesday, same time. But until then, I pray that God bless each and every one of you, that he bless you going in and you're coming out, that he make your crooked road straight, that he shut the doors that need to be shut and open the doors that need to be opened, that he give you a heart of forgiveness if any forgiveness is necessary to give, and let others forgive you, and that he would handle the broken relationship in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Until amen. Next week, see you later.
Good night.
Good night, my darling.